faded, conscious I get. If I were walking in your shoes, I wouldn't worry none. Are you no friends are worried about me? I'm having lots of fun. Counting flowers on the wall.
You're hearing Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. International callers may reach Art in the Kingdom of Nye by first dialing their access number to the USA. Then 1-800-893-0903. 1-800-893-0903. And you may fax Art by calling area code 702-727-8499. That's area code 702-727-8499. Please limit faxes to one or two pages. Now again, here is Art Bell.
Once again, here I am. Good morning, everybody. We're in the middle of a breaking news story. My very good friend and world-renowned author of Communion and More, Whitley Strieber, is with us as a guest, and we have a tale yet to tell you from Whitley, quite a few actually. But the last 2 hours have been absolutely consumed by what has occurred in the skies of the Northwest. An object has been seen and variously described by many callers, some very, very good eyewitness reports, as moving from the Pacific over the state of Washington. We're getting some reports that it may have come down, whatever it is, in central or eastern Washington. Initial reports of some wreckage in central Washington. KXLE telling us that they have no reports of wreckage, that the highway patrol up there has dispatched nobody. Rick Van Tice, the news director of KOMO Radio, has been feeding us report after report, and was the first one to tell us, first one to report that Como was saying that it was an SL-12 booster rocket. And as a matter of fact, bless his heart, Keith has found a photograph of an SL-12 rocket, and he's putting that up on the website. Let me tell you what else we've got on the website. We have got pictures from King 5 in Seattle of this object. The second picture being the more interesting of the two from King 5, literally showing this object streaking in and apparently breaking up. It actually shows what appears to be breaking up in progress. I also have a time hack report, and you can see the time right on the photograph from KOMO television in Seattle. And there's a time hack there, so there's absolutely no question about what time this occurred. Now, some people have called and said they are getting mixed up on the times. You need not be, because the television stations in question reported the time, and it is 9:06 and 26 seconds when the photograph that I sent Keith was taken by Como. So we know exactly when it actually did streak by that area, and that was 9:06 and about 26 seconds. So this is an ongoing breaking news story. We don't know what we've got. NORAD and the Air Force are both claiming the object crashed into the Pacific Ocean. They're saying it was an SL-12 which crashed into the Pacific Ocean. Now, this, of course, does not make sense when we have had 20 or 30 reports already from people who saw the object pass overhead and continue in an easterly direction from Vancouver on the Canadian side to Seattle to even central Washington. This object obviously did not fall into the Pacific, so the reports we're getting right now are in conflict, and I believe what NORAD and the Air Force are saying regarding the object having fallen into the Pacific obviously must be inaccurate. However, as with all breaking news stories, we're going to have to continue to gather information as we can, and we will do that until we get to some sort of resolution or a point where we have to give up mystery. And so once again, here is Whitley Strieber. Whitley?
Yes, I'm here.
Good. Very interesting, very, very interesting to listen to all of this unfold. Whatever this turns out to be, I can't imagine that it would fall into the Pacific and people then as far east as central Washington would see it pass overhead.
No, it didn't. It didn't fall into the Pacific. Some part of it, major part of it, continued on overland. And what it was remains to be seen. If it actually the reports from as far south as Phoenix turn out to be true, then it was an anomalous object or a group of objects.
Well, it was because, and here's the other thing, the people in the Seattle area reported this object as low and slow.
Well, yeah, exactly. And
Phoenix, of course, is, oh, I don't know, what would you guess, 1,600 miles away from Seattle?
Oh, more, yeah, probably that or a little more. But some of the descriptions, such as seeing it passing behind trees, and the man who had the impression that it was dropping just a short distance away from him, something like this is so low that it is below the tree line, and it is not, they don't have a really, really deep horizon. In other words, they're not seeing something that's miles and miles away below the tree line, which doesn't appear to have been the case here. Then it's very, very hard to see how this could still be on any kind of a ballistic trajectory, because for that close to the ground, the trajectory is much too flat. If the object is moving so slowly, it just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense at all. If the reports are accurate, then we do have definitely got something unusual here. And if they're not accurate, I mean, if people were confused, well, that's very understandable. But
all right,
right now it's looking kind of unusual.
First time caller line, you're on the air with Whitley Strieber and Art Bell, trying to make sense out of all this. Where are you, please?
I'm in Redmond, Washington.
Redmond, Washington.
Right.
Where is Redmond?
Just about 15 miles from Seattle. And I was driving home at 11:15 tonight, and I was listening to Como, and they had brought up at the time that the sighting was at 9:15. It was a cluster.
Actually, ma'am, I've got a photograph which I've uploaded to my website, which shows nine. It shows 9:06.
Okay.
And 26 seconds, and that's a camera hack, and it's printed right there at the bottom. So that must be accurate.
And they said, though, that it had went over and debris or went down around Cooley City.
Debris came down around Cooley City?
Right.
Where is Cooley City, please?
Cooley City is about halfway between Ellensburg and Spokane and about 50 miles north of Interstate 90,
right
above Moses Lake.
Now, I'm not great with all this, but Ellensburg is central Washington.
Right.
And you're saying that it came down at some point even further east of that.
Right. It would be about halfway between Spokane and Ellensburg, which would put it, I'm looking at my map, which puts it straight above Moses Lake, about 50 miles above Interstate 90. 90 just kind of runs pretty much straight across the state.
Well, one thing is for certain, that's not the Pacific Ocean.
No. No. Your friend at Como may be able to tell you, because I'd heard that on their report, and then while I was on hold, I heard another report that said that it was like great orange balls of fire, but
right.
Then he said, but it was almost more jet-like because it was slower.
Oh, boy,
and
this is getting weird. All right, I appreciate the report, and again, those of you who would like to see the pictures that exist, and we've got some of the best, they're at my website right now. If you can get in, it's at www.artbell.com, www.artbell.com. I believe we now have a total of three television station photographs from Como and from King 5, and we've also now got a picture of what is an SL-12 Russian booster. So all of that is on the website. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Whitley Strieber and Art Bell. Hello.
Yes.
Where are you?
Seattle, Washington.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I went outside from my work and just to take a break with a couple of coworkers, and we're just a couple blocks south of the Kingdom, and looked up and saw, appeared to be up to seven, as they describe it, balls of fire, with two of them being larger than the others.
All right, question for you, sir.
Yes.
Several questions, if I might. Number one, did these objects, you saw them first to the west of you, is that correct?
West, going due east and at a perfectly straight horizontal line.
All right, here's what I want to know. Did you see them traverse your position? In other words, you saw them go from the west to where you were and then continue eastward from that point?
That is correct. We followed them, and as they progressed east, I was calling to try and get some other coworkers out of the building, and we went further west into the parking lot to continue to be able to look further east.
All right, so if NORAD and the Air Force say all of this fell into the Pacific Ocean, you say...
I say not.
You say not, huh?
No, it disappeared over what would be the Beacon Hill area of downtown, and it went behind our building, which is roughly a two-story building. So at that point, we could not see it anymore. And it's, where I work, we go outside quite
a bit. Can you estimate the altitude?
Well, this is what I was going to say. Where I work, we have the approach to Boeing Field, and we also have some approach aircraft coming in for SeaTac. And the Boeing Field particularly is a lot lower. And this appeared to be going at the same speed as you would see an airliner coming in with its wheels down.
All right. You are about the, I don't know how many, probably 20th or 30th person to say exactly that. So around 175, 200 miles an hour, something
and
like that?
How big were the lights?
Yeah, very good question. Whitley's asking you, how big was this relative to, say, the moon?
I would say the largest of the objects in relation would be, maybe a fourth the diameter of the moon. But it was bright orange, shot all of these items up to, I would say, up to seven of them, just a huge shower of sparks. We had a MiG jet here at the 4th of July that did a night show along with the fireworks that showered sparks as it flew. And our first thought was, it's a whole fleet of MiGs. But it just, there was no sound to it. And the largest object appeared to pulse. It definitely got brighter and dimmer.
Oh.
And I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Well, this is highly unlikely. Again, if your description is accurate and the others are accurate, there's a problem in ascribing this phenomenon to falling debris, because we've gotten stories of pulsation, slow movement, extreme lowness, large or extremely large size, one of the two. Probably extreme lowness, because some people have seen this in connection with the horizon and so forth. We have gotten one report that said that the object eventually stopped and then the lead object dropped down, straight down to the ground. I think that there needs to be a much more adequate explanation of what this is from the authorities than we've gotten.
As a matter of fact, Whitley, one of the photographs on the website appears to show that, you just said dropping straight down to the ground.
Yeah.
It appears to show that occurring. Now, I'm not a trained observer, but that's what the photograph appears to show.
The body of a launch vehicle that would be reentering is basically a tube, and it will have some tanks and so forth in it, and there would be some big round rings on it where it connected to other parts of the launch system, and all this debris can create a impression of something burning and falling apart, but when it changes, and people keep describing these group of discrete separate objects, sometimes pulsating with light, you have to wonder what kind of breakup could cause something to look like that. And there isn't really any kind of breakup, and there's no question about this being any commonly known form of meteor. If it was a meteor, it was a very, very unusual one.
Whitley, you have dealt in your life with a lot of very strange occurrences.
Very strange.
And again, for the audience, if you would, kind of sum up the way you feel about the way ufology is going, the number of sightings we're getting, and I know you have had some recent experiences. As a matter of fact, I want to take a second out, and I want to tell the audience knows that you have had what you regarded as an implant in your ear.
Yes.
Now, there's kind of some update news, not all of which you can give out publicly tonight, and I understand why.
Well, all I can say publicly right now is that there was an attempt made to remove this object, and it migrated out from under the surgeon's scalpel, even though it had been fixed in...
Stop. Did I hear you correctly?
Yes,
you said
it moved
the
out.
Surgeon went and with a scalpel and went after this object,
and it moved away.
And it moved away.
Indeed, it moved away. We were able to get a piece of it, and right now that's where the story stops because it's still under study. I have nothing to say about it at all at this point, except that. That's what happened. And after this occurred, because it had been fixed in my ear, in the pina of my ear, and the surgeon had observed it and palpated it to be fixed and had drawn a target around it to indicate its position, and then had had opened it up and began dissecting around it, when it suddenly moved away from under his instrument.
My God.
And
Whitley, what does a...
What did he do?
What did he say? I mean...
He said, it's moving. And then he laughed and said, it's alive. And I thought to myself, but it's in my ear. And I have to tell you, right now, as I talk to you, the object has returned to where it was. The suture is healed. And the object feels precisely like it did before.
Maybe where it wants to be.
Well, this seems to be where it's decided to make its home. I just keep thinking of what the visitors... Someone said at one point, was it one of the other abductees, I'm not sure, said... this has been in my experience somewhere, too, this phrase, we will come from within you. And I'm thinking about, you know, Roger Lear out on the West Coast and the people that he's done these surgeries on, and Jesse Long, whose object we have studied for so long here in San Antonio. And I'm thinking in this thing with me that maybe what we will come from within you means is that these implants are going to prove to be something quite hard to explain.
You have a new book coming out, we think, in May, right?
Yeah, okay. Well, here's the situation with me. Right now, we have the communion letters out in trade paperback, large format paperback. Ann and I edited this. It's 100 letters from the quarter of a million that we have gotten. And it is, if you read this book, it will completely revise your understanding of what the close encounter experience is. And I, in fact, could, if you want to, tonight, I could read one of these knock your socks off letters, or...
I would absolutely love that. We'll do that after the break. These are... Okay, is it a book?
It's a book.
It's a book called The
Communion
Letters.
Edited by Ann Whitley Strieber, and Ann is the person who has collected these letters all of these years for 10 years, and we've got 36,000 letters on file out of the quarter of a million that we have gotten. The others are either shorter or repeats or something like that. And we have culled, she primarily did this, culled these 100 letters out as a representative sample of what we've gotten. And as I say, it is the most amazing story ever told in the world. There is nothing like it anywhere, not in the UFO literature, not anywhere.
Where can people get this, by the way?
Well, okay, there's two things I have to say. First, it should be in all bookstores.
Uh-huh.
It's called The Communion Letters. That's the first thing. The second thing is it's from my former publisher, HarperCollins. So God only knows whether or not they'll be able to find it.